When we worship the Lord, strange things happen in the heavens. Is that right? That also, strange things happen to our brain. We have so much to be thankful for today. I'd like to talk about the Bride of Christ. Is that okay? There's a lot of understanding and things we realize about the Bride of Christ. But I want to go into it in detail. For, you know, we can identify as the bride, the church, you in particular, singularly, the Bride of Christ, the church, your home group, your fellowship, the church, universal church. It's all the Bride of Christ. And we can also identify with the bridegroom as we love one another. Now, that's not taken, I talked about too much, but I believe we do actually fall in love with each other. And when we do, we're taking on ourselves the groomship of the Lord.
There's no such word.
But however it can be, we take upon ourselves the character of Christ to cherish one another. Is that right?
Yeah.
Am I way off base on this? I don't think so. So let's turn to Revelation's second chapter. You guys hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It's an interesting scripture. I've read it many times, but I want to read it through. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? Poor church of Ephesus is going to get it. The bride. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the golden lampstand. So reference to the stars in the heavens and also the stars in our midst of what God is doing on the earth. Verse 2. I know your works, your labor, your patience. Some of that was what Tim was referring to earlier. We labor and have patience, and yet it doesn't seem like we're getting through. That you cannot bear those who are evil. Oh, wouldn't you love to be that said about you as the bride? And you have tested those who say they are apostles and they're not. And you have found them to be liars. So it isn't just that they accept everything through the door, but there's a discernment going on in their hearts towards other people and things. They're not judging. They're discerning what's happening in the church today. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored. Enough, Lord. I don't want all those things. So I've had enough perseverance and patience for a while. For my name's sake, you have not become weary. And what does the scripture say again? Do not grow weary of doing good. That one has been spoken to me over and over by the Holy Spirit. And these days, don't grow weary of doing good. Amen. Thank you. I have to speak to my vocal cords. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. In other words, don't just sit around. Use your brain. Think about what's going on around you, just as the armies of heaven do all the time. Verse 17, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's not good enough for you just to do good things. You want to press in and knowing the purposes of God and what's in God's heart, what the will of the Lord is, not your will. Jesus died on the cross. It was not his will. He says, Lord, if this be your will, if it be okay, let's skip this part. But he submitted even to death. We sang about that. And don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit isn't just going through a sacrament. Being filled with the Spirit means that you're overflowing with the love of God. You're overflowing with the presence of the Lord. You know, when on October 10th, and I saw the sky light up with all kinds of reds and greens from the aurora, the Lord was having a hallelujah breakdown himself. And it wasn't measured out. He didn't care who got wet. That's kind of what we should be doing. We should be filled with the Spirit. Is that right? So that means we need to speak to one another about this. Encourage one another. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I mean, that sounds so holy, doesn't it? But it's true. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There should be a song in your heart all the time. And if your song is a drudge, there's something wrong. I mean, you're going to go through some hard times. This is not, the Lord hasn't called us to an easy ride. In that song we sing, there's fire in his eyes, sword in his hand. Come on, come up with me. Riding on a horse is not an easy thing to do, especially when you're in battle. But God has called us to be warriors. God has called us to this path. Nice, we think of a path, falling leaves on either side and a warm wind coming in after a cold morning. What could be better? But the Lord has called us to suffering too. Giving thanks always to our God, the Father, the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Submitting, I love this verse, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Isn't that good? So you can come in, just barely got saved, and I have to be attuned to the Holy Spirit enough to submit to you if you hear God. That's not preached too often, is it? Now, in also in Ephesians, we're going to pick this up in verse 22. I left off somewhere in Revelation, didn't I? I finished that. Yeah, nevertheless, I have this against you. That's verse 4 in Revelation chapter 2. That you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen and repent. That means turn away and do the things you did at first. Or else I will come quickly and remove the lampstand, remember the lampstand, from its place. Unless you repent. That's really a confession of love that the Lord has for us and his desire to have that love in us to him. That we need to fall in love with him and we need to fall in love with the bride as he is in love with the bride. And that's what I was trying to get at. Sorry, I went on to the wrong verse there. But to me, it's very obvious that when I teach and when Paul sings and plays his guitar, he isn't just doing it to the Lord. He's doing it to you, the bride. As the bridegroom, we accept his heart. He is in us, after all. The Holy Spirit has come for that to take place so that we could be a part of our Lord God. Paul says this mystery of the ages, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So I think that what bothers me most in this hour and in this day is when people fall away. And there are a lot of people we know who have fallen away. Some have taken a path just different than us. Some of them have outright rejected the Lord. Some of them have outright rejected God, period, and turned to atheism. And you know, what a terrible thing for someone who's filled with the Spirit and has been exposed to the loving nature of God to go that direction breaks my heart, and that is the heart of Christ, breaks that heart every time it happens. But here's the thing that I have learned over the years, that many times when those people have fallen away, drifted away, and or have separated completely, when they come back, it's a wonderful thing. That's what he's exhorting this Ephesian church to do. He's exhorting them to come back to the Lord, to do the things that they did at first. So when you fall in love with your spouse, what did you do at first? We did crazy things to express your love. What is it? Maybe you danced. Maybe you sang. Maybe you had a poem that you read. Maybe there were scriptures you could read to one another. It isn't just the things, but even the sound of the voice of the Lord, the sound of your voice as you give testimony of the Lord is a comfort to me. And I pray that through the years that those who have heard my voice have heard the voice of the Lord in that manner, calling them. And they fall in love, not with me personally, but with the Lord personally. And that love, let me tell you, is not easily broken. That love is not easily walked away from. Because later on, when things get really bad, I said, why did I do that? So what? I am going in the wrong direction. I need to turn around and do the things that I did at first. I need to see the things that I saw at first. Oh, Lord God, help us to be the bride of Christ. Lord, help us to be the groom inside of us, Lord God, to cherish the bride of Christ. Now, let me tell you something. When somebody starts to tell me how bad the church is and the bride of Christ is, I get a little annoyed at that. It's like somebody comes and tells me all the flaws that my wife Cheryl has. I would probably get more than just a little annoyed, right? Because this is someone you love. Now, that's happened here in this church where people come and say, this isn't it. This is terrible. We're on our way to it, but I'm sorry, but she's not an it. She's a her. The bride of Christ, her. She's not where she should be because Jesus isn't finished with her. But he's never going to say, boy, you're not it, kid. I'm looking for another one. I'm going to look for another bride. He's never going to say that to you. Never going to say that to this church or to another church because his heart is for her. This is the next verse in where, Ephesians? Let's see, where is this? Yeah, Ephesians 5, verse 22. And it starts with, wives, submit to your husbands. Nobody wants to hear that these days. As to the Lord. Whoa. Really? For the husband is the head of his wife, and also Christ the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives also be to their own husbands in everything. But here's a more important verse. And by the way, just before that, it was submitting to one another. So now husbands should be submitting too. All right, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her, cleanse her with the washing of water of the word. What does that mean? That means reviewing the scriptures, reading the scriptures, not memorizing them, but taking them in. So I never had it. I can't say never. I probably did. But I very rarely memorize scripture. But I'm telling you, there's stuff that's burned into my heart that I can never unknow. He might sanctify her, washing her with the water of the word. Verse 27, that he might present to her to himself a glorious church, the bride. And we're going to have a wedding feast when it comes to the Lord in heaven. Is that true? Scripture talks about that. People are going to say, is this it? Yeah, this definitely is it. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So that's his goal, that the bride would have. The bride wouldn't stay where she is, but wouldn't have a spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I get up in the morning and I'm like, where did that one come from? But the church isn't like that. Church is going to get better and better and better. You're going to become more and more in love with her. You are going to be more and more in love with her. Jesus is already in love with her. Oh, He doesn't have to worry about doing the things he did at first. He's still doing them. Oh, Lord God, help us to see this morning, that he might present to himself a glorious church, nothing else, nothing short of that. Should be holy and without blemish. You feel unholy today? Yeah, we do. We can't do it on our own. Who does it for us? The Holy Spirit within us, Jesus, the one who really loves us, not the one who says he loves us and then walks the other direction, but the one who really loves his church, really loves his bride. So, verse 28, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, just ask any guy, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Nourish and cherish. We are members of his body. We heard that in the communion. And his flesh and his bones. When I take communion and that body is broken, and we eat it, but Jesus broke his body so that our body as the bride would be made whole. Not that it would be broken again. His body was broken for us. Verse 31. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That's a great mystery, but speaking concerning Christ and the church, oh, we're going to become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Amen. Now in John 21, starting in verse 15, it begins to talk about Jesus' interface with a particular disciple, Peter, Apostle Peter. And Peter, if you remember, denied Christ three times. And this scripture text, he affirms his love to the Lord three times. So when he had eaten breakfast, verse 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And it's not all about the Greek text here. It's about a repetitive, I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Then he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved, frustrated even, because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he has to give a lecture to Jesus. I don't think so. But he says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Oh, Lord, let that be the song in our heart this morning. You know that we love you. We want to hear your voice. And then Jesus says, feed my sheep. Feeding means give of yourself what Jesus has in you, whatever it might be, to the sheep, to the bride. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you got to do anything you wanted. You girded yourself and walked where you wished. And when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you don't want to go. He spoke of this concerning his death and how it would glorify God. So as a bride matures and gets smarter and gets less wrinkly, we all get, in the natural, get more wrinkly, but the bride's going to get less wrinkly and less spotty. She's going to look really beautiful. But think back now when you first fell in love with the Lord. What was the bride looking like when you first came to the Lord? She actually looked pretty good to you, I think. It did me. It's like when you first look at a woman, it's like you don't see all the wrinkles and spots. Guys, is that right? Yeah. But after you get to know them, it's like, whoa, I didn't see that before. I didn't know she had an anger and temper like that. But you learn to love her anyway. Not only anyway, but more. And because of those things. Because we need each other. She needs you. You need her. How can you describe love, really? It's not really easily done. But it's true love is a love that doesn't give up. And go through the Second Corinthians on this one. You know, it has all kinds of ways you can love. But not more than that, there's a passion involved. It isn't just that I don't give up. I really love her. So I really love the church. So I really love my home group. Is that right? How about the people in the home group? You love them that much. Well, God's working on you as a bride too, isn't he? He's changing you. He says, you need to change your heart. You love it when you first started. What's the problem now? Things haven't changed. They've actually gotten better. Actually, I'm going to read a few verses lastly. That's my last scriptures. From the Song of Songs, Song of Solomon. And you know, in the Jewish context, young Jewish boys were not allowed to read this. For good reason. There's explicit language in here and descriptions of love and what love is. But it's to remind us, as a New Testament believer, what's real. It isn't just a confession of love when you get married and say, do you promise to love, cherish, blah, blah, blah. I do, and walk away, and you're married. There's something happens. And when we fall in love with the Lord Jesus, that's the kind of love that happens. And we fall in love with the bride, that's the kind of love that happens. We can't just walk away. So I've had it with this church. I've had it with this bride. I'm going to go look for another one. Well, there are a lot of other ones around. But what did they? What did the Lord say, in, or the angel say to the church at Ephesus? You've learned to be a discerning group. Use it. That was a good thing. All right. Song of Solomon 1, 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Because the fragrance of your good ornaments, your name is poured forth. Therefore the virgins love you. Verse 4, draw me away. When you really see the Lord and what he's doing in our midst, you say, draw me away. Go ahead, look at CBS, NBC, Fox, whatever you want, and you're going to come with the same conclusion. Draw me away from this. There's another love affair I have, and it isn't with politics. It isn't with those who are right in politics. It isn't for the truth that there is in some of the doctrines that are out there. And truth is always a good thing. We should be seekers of the truth. Is that right? But the truth has to start with our love affair. That's what he was saying to the Ephesians. You got the truth part down. You don't need to go over that again. You have persevered, verse 3 in Revelations. You have persevered and have patience, and you have labored for my name's sake, and haven't become weary. You're doing a good job. But listen, wake up. It's not just about that. It's about the kiss of God. So, Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would remind us of your kiss. Lord, as you died upon that cross, that's what you were thinking about. You were thinking of the glory that was set before you as you poured your Holy Spirit down upon the church without measure. If he could have done it stronger, he would have done it stronger. They didn't know how to describe how the Spirit came down upon them in that day and that hour, and they still don't. People who describe their being baptized in the Spirit many times are lost for words and how to describe it. They say, I don't know, I was just babbling like a baby. I fell down on the floor and I didn't know how to respond. And a lot of things, times when that happened in the Toronto Blessing, people were just filled with the Spirit and didn't know how to respond. And they sounded like animals, but they didn't know how to respond. How do we respond to the love of God? Except to embrace him. So, Father, I pray, though, that you would give us wisdom to know what those things are that you were talking about that we should do like we did at first? What are those things that you're calling us to do? Maybe it is to write a song, a poem. Maybe it is to go for that walk with someone you love. Maybe it is to encourage another and brother and sister. They haven't done that in a while. The one you've been praying for, about going over to them and giving them a hug. The ones that have already left, the ones that are lost and are looking for a way back. Well, you can be the lighthouse for their soul. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.